You know, every time we sing this song, I remember they played that song while we were on a boat on the Sea of Galilee, looking at the place where Jesus walked, where he taught the Sermon on the Mount, which is what we're going to cover some of it today. And you were able to see Capernaum, where Jesus spent a good part of his ministry, and he just looked around as they're playing that song, and the Sea of Galilee is so calm, looks like a glass, you know, and you know, made you think, and we're singing, we're crying, actually, and thinking about it just now here, remembering all that. I mean, it's just a humble place, you know, nothing great about the whole thing. And yet God was willing to come down to this earth as a man and travel those dusty roads and be in places like what I was just describing. And it just makes you think how great God really is. He was willing to come down to be with us so he could save us from our sin. Let's pray. We'll look at the Bible in just a second. Father, how great you are. Oh, how worthy of our praise. Thank you for coming down to be with us. Thank you for trying on these clothes of human flesh. And thank you for doing all the things that you did that we're going to look into a little bit today. Oh, marvelous is your name. Marvelous you are. Father, we love you. You are a great God, worthy of praise. There might be somebody watching me on Facebook today who says, you know, I'm not a Christian, but I would like to be. We pray that today would be the day of their salvation. Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise forever. You are the King, eternal and immortal, the only God. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I've entitled our time together, Prayer Etiquette Part 3, Be Persistent. This is going to be the last of our prayer etiquettes that Jesus spoke about in the Sermon on the Mount. He was just sitting, the Bible says, on this beautiful hillside, and he began to speak to people about the ways of God. And one thing that he kept pressing on was the need for us to be persistent when we pray. Persistency. I heard the mom tell the story of when she took her little toddler to the grocery store, and from the time they went in the door, the kid started asking for chocolate chip cookies. She was like, Mom, give me chocolate chip cookie. I want a chocolate chip cookie. Can I get a chocolate chip cookie? And they went by the bakery. Can I get a chocolate chip cookie? But the mom kept ignoring her. And eventually, she said, they came to the cash register when they were checking out. And she said her little girl stood in the grocery cart and said out loud, can somebody please get this girl a chocolate chip cookie? And I thought about that story because what we read about, what Jesus taught about concerning our prayer life is you keep asking, you keep seeking, you keep knocking on heaven's door, waiting and believing that God is going to answer your prayer. And that's where we're going to be at today. We already covered the idea and the understanding from the Bible that when you pray, God immediately answers your prayer. It doesn't take him a month. It doesn't take him a year. It doesn't take him a week. It doesn't take him a few hours to think about what he's going to do. The Bible tells us that the moment you pray, God answers your prayer. Sometimes that prayer answer is yes, and you get what you were praying for. And I'm sure that you would have stories right now, if I open it up, of something that happened recently when you prayed and he was quick to answer. God answered quickly, just like that. It's awesome. But there are many times when God's answer is not yet. It's not yes. Sometimes it's not now, you got to wait. And sometimes it's no. So although we pray and we know that God answers our prayer immediately, when the answer that he gives us is either wait or no, we don't understand his mind. We don't know where God is going with his plan for us. So that's why the Lord Jesus encourages us and challenges us to keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. So Jesus said these words in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. And this is the ask, seek, knock part of his teaching. But I'm reading it from the International Children's Bible. And it's a little different than the way you read it in your Bible, but it's a very accurate translation. So according to the International Children's Bible, it goes like this, what Jesus said. So Jesus is teaching, right? And he says to the people, continue to ask, and God will give it to you. Continue to search, and the Bible, some Bible translations say seek, and you will find. Continue to knock, and the door will open for you. Yes, everyone who continues asking will receive. He who continues searching will find. And he who she who continues knocking will have the door open for him, for her. Keep praying. We're going to look at those verses. We're going to break them down in just a little bit. But for your notes, I want you to write this down before we start really digging into the passage. God welcomes, write the word welcomes in your notes, please. God welcomes your prayers. God welcomes whatever you have to say, any prayer for anything at any time. God welcomes that. Why? Because it's the way you and he interact. God wants interaction with us because he loves us so much, right? And I've heard people say, well, you know, what I'm praying for is so little. I just don't want to bother God with it. Have you heard anybody say that? I don't want to bother God with what I'm thinking. It's just so little. He has so important things going on in the world. No, no, no. Listen, when you pray, you got to remember three things. God is omnipotent. He has all power. God is omniscient. He is everywhere at the same time. So God doesn't need to put this off for a little bit while he deals with you. God does everything at the same time, and God is all loving. He's thinking about you 24/7. So whatever it is in your heart, whatever is kind of riding deep and heavy on you, tell God about it, because he's interested in even the smallest of the smallest. Just like somebody was saying about their chickens or whatever, their poor eggs, whatever they were. Oh, quail. God cares about quail, and God answered that prayer last night. It's kind of cool, all right? So for your notes, I want you to write down this word motivation. Your prayer motivation, when you and I pray, our prayer motivation is that our Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father, has great things for you. The reason we pray, it's because the Bible tells us that God is a heavenly Father that loves us, is a good Father, and wants to give us good things. So here's what Jesus said. This is still the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7, verses 9 through 11. What would you do, Jesus is speaking, if your son asked for bread? Would you give him a stone? Or if your son asked for a fish, would you give him a snake? Even though you are bad or sinful, you know how to give good gifts to your children. So surely your Heavenly Father will give good things. The word for good there is the Greek agathos, which means beautiful, generous. God will give you beautiful and generous things to those who ask him. Can I hear an amen for that? That's the kind of God we worship. Well, one of our favorite places in the world is Alaska. You can ask Doreen. We want to go back to Alaska. And we love the town of Skagway. And in Skagway, there were a couple of things that stand up to my mind. First, the fried halibut over there. Oh, my. Fred Halibut over there in Skagway was delicious. But then Skagway also has something called the White Pass and Yukon Railroad. Has anybody ridden on that thing? Some of y'all have, right? That thing, that train takes you all the way up there to that mountain, right? Remember, guys? It was absolutely amazing. The scenes are just mind-blowing, right? So I started researching a little because my mind went back to that, right? And in the late 1800s, this train was starting to be put together, 1896. And that's when the Yukon Gold Rush began, okay? Something called the Yukon Gold Rush. And so we learned some of that, but I started kind of refreshing my mind. So this is how the Yukon Gold Rush began in Alaska. There were three guys. Okay, three guys that were, I guess, messing around in a little river called Rabbit River. These three guys, their names were George, Dawson, and Skookum. Skookum was the nickname. And I thought it was a great nickname, right? What if somebody called you Skookum? Hey, Skookum, how you doing? So Skookum, George, and Dawson go up there, and they find little flakes of gold in the Rabbit River. Well, the newspapers got a hold of this. They got a hold that there's gold in the Rabbit River over there by the town of Dawson. So people started the gold rush. And you know what? People that went up there, they braved the difficult Alaskan terrain. I mean, this is a tough deal. So, but they wanted gold. And so they faced hypothermia, malnutrition. They faced disease, avalanches, and freak accidents, but they didn't care. Why? They were motivated because they wanted gold. And I read that out of the 100,000, somewhere around 100,000 people that went for the gold rush, 60,000 of them did not make it. All that. It's insane. But they were motivated to get the gold. Right? And it made me think about this because, hey, gold is cool. But when you pray, Jesus is saying, pray and then pray some more because your Father in heaven has something for you that's even better than gold. And gold is good, no doubt about it. But God's interested in our journey more than anything else in the world. And what God wants to bless us is he wants to bless our relationships. He wants to bless us with peace. God wants to give us gifts, right? Gifts that will deal with our hopes and our dreams and our health. And so that's much better than gold. So your motivation when you pray, when I pray, has to be, I have a Father in heaven who loves me and wants to do good for me. I want to get whatever God has in mind to give me, don't you? You want to get whatever God has in mind to give you. So talk to him about whatever is in your heart. The problem with those Christians is that we give up too easily. We pray for something once. Maybe pray for the same thing twice or three times or four times. But when it doesn't happen, we lose heart and we lose interest. And then we begin to think, okay, why am I doing? Why do I keep praying? Why do I keep asking the same thing? And you got to refuse to do that. Jesus is teaching us, right, on the prayer etiquette. And what God wants is for us to keep praying and keep talking and keep asking. On my day off, a couple of days ago, I decided to do some plumbing around the house. Thank you for being so confident in me. I heard some grumbling, but y'all know me for many years. I decided to do some plumbing and what they call repurposing. And so I have a dishwasher. We have a dishwasher that stopped working. The thing has been there over 30 years. All those connections have been there for over 30 years. And I decided to, let's get rid of that thing, right? Me and Doreen. And Doreen's all like, you can do it. Yeah. And so I saw a video. I looked for a Google video to find out how do I take out a dishwasher. And so this person has a YouTube channel, I guess, or some channel where she tells people that want to do home projects how to do them. You know, my dad was a great do-it-yourselfer. He had incredible skills. I did not inherit any of those. My brother did. I inherited my daddy's good looks. Yeah. Yeah. And his sense of humor as well. Okay. So I watched this video, and the lady's telling the guy how to do this, and you see in the video how he's just underneath the sink. You know what I'm talking about. It's very uncomfortable. And at the end, he gets it done. He gets it done, right? And at the end, the lady that you cannot see asked the guy that was changing and extracting that out of his house, said, "Do you have a tip for anyone who is going to try, meaning me, to try to get that dishwasher out of here?" And the guy thought for a moment, and he said, "Yes." He said, "Don't give up trying. Keep going." And I want to tell you, I went at it. I didn't want to flood the house. But I was having a hard time loosening up some of these things that have been tightened for over 30 years. And of course, I'm going at it, and I'm praying a lot over it. In fact, I had to consult my friend Chat. I went to ChatGPT and AI, and I took a picture under my sink, and I said to AI, "Which is the lines I'm looking at here? What is this?" And AI thanked me for the picture, said, "Hey, thanks for the picture," and then, very helpful, began to tell me, "Hey, look at your garbage disposal. You see that line over there? That's this line." And he said, "If you look to the left of the picture, you see this line? That's this line." And it helped me begin to figure out, okay, what is this? What am I looking at? And then through God's help, and the Lord be praised, I was able to get that done. So for your notes, I want you to write this down. Prayer etiquette says, and we've been talking about, I've been repeating myself again and again, and this is Jesus saying, keep praying and don't give up. Keep praying and don't give up. Whatever it is that you're praying for. I'm sure there's some things you're praying about over and over, and me too. Keep praying and don't give up. In the Old Testament, there's a story of somebody who, there's several stories. We don't have time to look at all of them. But I went back to Daniel because God gave Daniel, the prophet, a revelation about the end times. It's tough to understand. So Daniel began to pray for wisdom. What in the world's going on? The vision that God gave him about the end of times, which would be close to our time here. So in Daniel chapter 10, verses 2 and 3, says this. At that time, Daniel writes, I was mourning for 3 weeks. God gives him a vision, and Daniel begins to mourn and think and wonder for 3 weeks. And he says, I did not eat any rich food or any meat, drink any wine, or comb my hair until the three weeks were passed. In other words, he was fasting several things. He was praying. And the Bible says that 3 weeks later, he got the answer from God. This is what the revelation I gave you means. It's fascinating. Now, I didn't read this, but you got to check this out, because the Bible says that the angel that came to give Daniel the revelation and the understanding said to Daniel, and this is about God answering your prayer immediately, said to Daniel, hey, God heard your prayer and answered your prayer the moment you prayed it. And so I came to you with the answer, but an evil spirit detained me. And for 3 weeks I've been dealing with this evil spirit, and I have not been able to bring the answer to you. But finally, the angel was able to loosen himself from this evil spirit and gave Daniel the answer. Isn't that fascinating? There's a spiritual world going on that we know very little about. We can't see it. But man, the angel was wrestling and moving towards giving Daniel the answer. So you've been praying. You've been seeking God about something very important to you, or something very little, but it's very important to you. God already answered the prayer. The answer is coming, whether it's yes, no, or not at this time. Whatever that may be, right? Here's another story of somebody who kept pressing the issue in prayer. This is the book of, 15:22 through 28 of Matthew. Check out this story. Jesus left the place and went off to a territory near the cities of Tyre and Sidon, coastal cities. A Canaanite woman, meaning a Gentile woman, not a Jew, who lived in that region, came to him, "Son of David," she cried out, "have mercy on me, sir. My daughter has a demon, and it's in a terrible condition. That's an intense need, right? But Jesus did not say a word to her, no response to her request. His disciples came to the Lord and begged him, send her away. She's following us and making all this noise. So we can tell then that the woman from the distance is saying, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. But to the disciples, it just sounded like a lot of noise. The word noise in the Greek language there is kraso. Kraso is the word they use to describe a raven's cry. A raven, ah, ah. Okay, are you with me? It's a raven. Ah, ah, ah. So this lady is like, have mercy on me, God, David, son of David, have mercy. And the disciples, all they hear is like, ah, ah, ah. It reminded me of the Peanut Gang. The Peanuts Gang. You never heard the sound of the teacher. Do you remember what you heard? Wah, 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 wah. And that's what the disciples were hearing. They were hearing. Wah, 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 ah, ah. So they went to Jesus. Hey, listen, there's a lot of noise. This lady is a lot of noise. Get rid of her. Then Jesus replied. I guess he turned to her, right? I have been sent only to the lost sheep of the people of Israel, to the Jews. At this, the woman came and fell at his feet. Help me, sir, she said. Jesus answered, it isn't right to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. Now, he's not calling her a dog. He's not calling her a wild dog or an ugly dog. The word dog there is little puppy. And what Jesus is saying is like, to you and me, it would be like, you know, my dog Tiana wanting to see me grill a steak and coming after me to give him a steak. It would be wrong for me to give her the steak that I have cooked for my wife and my kids. Are you with me on this? So Jesus is saying to this woman, why should I give the best that I have reserved for my people, the Jews, and throw it out to the Gentiles? Everybody with me? If you are, say amen. Amen. If you don't understand, raise your hand. We're good? Okay. Look at what she does. So Jesus gives her this picture. That's true, sir, she answered, but even the dogs eat the leftovers and fall from the master's table. Oh, man, that was insanely smart. So Jesus answered her, you're a woman of great faith. What you want will be done for you. And at that very moment, her daughter was healed. Wow. You know what happened? She refused to give up. The disciples were like, get rid of her. She didn't. She kept coming. Jesus said to her, it wouldn't be right for me to do what you're asking me. She got on her knees. And she says, no, Lord, listen, I just give me a little crumble. Just give me a little doggy bag. I'll take anything you got to give me. And Jesus said, oh, man, you got some serious faith here. And heal her daughter. So let's go back to the ask, seek, knock teaching. Now, this is not a foolproof plan to get your prayers for God to say yes. It's not a prescription necessarily for success. It's just the method Jesus was teaching us, okay? So we're going to read it again. Jesus said, continue to ask, and God will give it to you. Continue to search, and you will find. Continue to knock, and the door will be open for you. Yes, everyone who continues asking will receive. He who continues searching will find. And he who continues knocking will have the door opened to him. That's what that woman did, not knowingly. She asked. She sought him out, got on her knees, and she knocked on that door. Just give me a little crumbs and I'll take that. In Puerto Rico, I've shared with you that during Christmas time, we do this thing called parrandas. And the parrandas is Christmas time. You get a group of people together, and you have like maracas and bongos and this thing called güiros, and you go to people's homes that they don't know that you're coming. There could be 10 people with you. So it's late at night, maybe 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night. And so this bunch is like, shh, quiet, quiet. So you go to the front of this door. This is the paranda. You go to the front of this door, and then you begin to sing Christmas carols that we call aguinaldos. Ábreme la puerta, ábreme la puerta. And then you start singing, okay? And the hope is that the homeowner will turn the lights on, open the door, will welcome you in, give you food, give you something to drink, and then join you to go to the next house for the next paranda. Okay? Okay, that's what they did. That's what they did. I remember going on a paranda. And sometimes you'd be singing, ábreme la puerta, ábreme la puerta. Nobody opening. Nobody like, no lights on. And you know what the people would do? They would go to the backyard of the people's home to see if there was a light on or to find the master bedroom. And when they would find the master bedroom, they would get right there on that window in the backyard of that private property, and they begin to sing again, ábreme la puerta, ábreme la puerta. And if nothing happened, they would start sometimes banging on the windows, banging on the front door, open the door, we know you're in there. Now, I know sometimes some people didn't want to open the door. They didn't have any food, they didn't have any drinks, and they're like, forget it, these people are crazy. My dad was one of them. You know, I'd be like, I'm not opening my door to anybody coming here late at night. And so, but the parrandas reminded me of the Jesus saying, ask, seek, knock. Ask, search, and knock. Because going to these people's front door is like asking, hey, open the door that we can come in. And then searching, seeking is like going to the backyard. Where are you at? Where are you at? And then you start knocking. And then finally, in many cases, people would openly open the door and be like, I don't have a lot to give you, but come on in, y'all. And then everybody, and they ransack the food and whatever, and then they get out of there. So here's ask for your notes, for your prayers. Ask. And that is simply Jesus meaning talk with God about anything in your life. That's called, that prayer is conversation, ain't it? Conversation with the Lord. Talk to God. I don't think Jesus, by saying ask, seek, knock, I don't think he was meaning say the same thing again and again and again and again and again and again and again. That's not what he's saying. It's just whatever's riding heavy in your heart, you keep asking God for it as you go along your day. Now, Jesus is not promising a blank check from God. Know what I'm saying? What is it that God wants? God wants obedience from you and me. God wants us to be living on par with what the Bible speaks, you know, says, and for us to be, try to be filled with the Spirit. That's what God wants, right? And then when you pray, for your notes, write this down. When you pray, you want to be open and wanting His will to be done. So when you're asking God for anything, whether it be a vacation, or whether it be a bonus, or whether it be a God fixing your relationship with your neighbor, whatever it may be, you're just asking God, right? But you're asking for God's will. God, whatever you want, that's what I want. If you don't want me to go, I don't want to go. If you don't want to fix this, God, I don't want it fixed. We got to ask for God's will. You know, sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it's tough. When you're praying for something, especially a sickness or something, you're praying for God's healing, and it doesn't happen. And what we need to do is, when we're praying for God's healing of somebody, is to say, God, this is what, you know my heart. This is what I'm looking for, but I want what you think is best. And if you think it's not best to heal this person, then don't, God. That's tough prayer, man. That's tough praying. But this is what God's looking for. The Apostle John wrote this, 1 John 5, 14 and 15. We are sure that He hears us, God, if we ask Him for anything that is according to his will. He hears us whenever we ask him. And since we know this is true, we know also that he gives us what we ask from him. Next, search, seek. Write this down, please. Look in the Bible. So you're praying. Then you keep praying. But then you start seeking. What are you seeking for? Seeking wisdom. Seek the Bible. God will speak through his word many times. So you look in the Bible, you meditate on what God's spirit is saying to your heart, you pay attention to what God's doing around you. That's the searching part. You ask God, but then you start searching. God, what are you doing? See, listen, if you're looking for a job, if you want a new job, you're not going to get it sitting on your couch watching TV. What do you got to do? You got to look for a job. And ask God to open a door for you. If you are trying to break a bad habit and you're like, God, help me break this bad habit. Okay, well, you keep doing that, but then you're searching and you're seeking. And if you know the things that are going to mess you up, the things that you are tempted with. So whatever it is that you're tempted with, stay away from it. If you're praying for God, control my mind. I can't control my mind. Then careful with what you input into your mind, the things you watch, the things you listen to. Whatever you're praying for, seek out whatever is it that God wants you to do. And then the last one is knock. And that means you pray until God reveals himself, the answer comes, or you get a sense of direction from the Lord. You just keep doing it. And one more blank for you. This is from James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. You'll have to check that out later. Keep praying and believing God for the answer. Believe God for the answer. James in those verses says, if you're going to pray, don't pray without believing. Because if you pray without believing, you're going to be like a wave that's tossed back and forth in the sea. Don't expect anything from God. You're going to pray like that. Amen. That was very weak. Amen? Amen. In the book I wrote several years ago, Hecklers in Your Crowd, Silencing the Voices That Hold You Back, I tell the story of Dawson. Dawson gave his wife many years ago a 22-carat gold ring. She was so excited. And he was going to war with the Air Force, so he left. And one day, and this is a true story, one day she goes out into the field to get some corn with her mother. This is many years ago. And when she comes back into the house, she realizes she's lost her 22-carat gold ring. And then she's like, I got to find that thing. Uh-oh. You know how it is. You lose your ring. It's like, oh, no. No, my wife is always saying, stop playing with your ring. But I play with it. I don't want to lose it. Did I tell you the time I was on a cruise and I was playing with it and we were waiting because there was an excursion? There's the whole place, the whole theater is packed out to the max. And I'm playing with my ring, waiting, and I lose it. And I guess it hits something on the bottom and goes. So I drop to my knees on the floor. And Dorian is like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm looking for a ring, my ring. Well, somebody heard me. And they dropped to the floor. And then somebody else dropped to the floor. And it was like that game. Do you remember that whack-a-mole game? It was like somebody, did you find it? And did you find it? No. Down. Down. We don't want to lose the ring, right? But she lost her ring. When her husband came back, he knew that she was broken down. She had been looking for a thing over and over and over. He said, I'll buy a new ring. She's like, it's not going to be the same. She never found the ring until 55 years later when she saw this guy with a metal detector. She said, will you come to the farm and see if you can find a ring that I lost 55 years ago? And this guy by the name of Eric, he brought his metal detector and he found the ring in 2 hours. Underneath about 6 inches of dirt. Can you imagine 55 years, that woman in her mind, I can't believe I lost that ring. Will I ever find that ring? Then all of a sudden, this guy finds it in 2 hours. And I was thinking about that, that incredible story. To me, continued prayer is like a metal detector that finally reaches the metal. And I don't know how metal detectors go. Do they go ding, 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 ding? Or do they go rawr, rawr, rawr? Whatever it may be, when you keep praying and you keep praying and you keep praying, eventually, y'all, it's going to be like rawr, 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 ding, 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 ding. God is giving you the answer. You got to keep praying and not give up. Persistent, relentless prayer. I close with this parable. Jesus told in the Gospel of Luke. Then he said to them, this is the Lord Jesus speaking. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing set before him. Then the one inside answers from inside the door, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. Then Jesus said, I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. The word boldness there means shameless knocking. And what you got a picture is a different culture than ours. In those days, when you close your door for the evening, it was shut until morning. It was not to be open again. It's midnight. And in that culture, people will roll out a map in the big room by the door, and everybody slept together for warmth. Sometimes there were animals in there sleeping as well with the children. It's midnight, and this person comes into his neighbor's house, and the guy inside is like, hey, get away from that door. I'm not going to get up. I'm not going to open the door. I don't want to wake up everybody in here. Because he was going to have to maybe step over the little 2-year-old that's already sleeping, step over maybe a little lamb that's sleeping there. Last thing he wanted to do was open the door, and the kid wakes up, ah, rah, 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 and then the chickens get up, rah, yeah, whatever. But because the lady because the guy kept persisting, the guy finally, Jesus said, opens the door and gives him the bread. This is what you and I need to understand. Let's be clear on this. When you and I pray and pray and pray, we're not praying and praying and praying so we can annoy God to the point where God says, here, take it. Leave me alone. When you pray and pray and pray, it's not like you're trying to twist God's arm to do what you want. What Jesus was saying with that story is that, listen, as imperfect as we are, if the guy is willing to get up and open the door, how much more will God be willing to do whatever you're asking? It's not an inconvenience. Because God loves you and he wants to bless you. So the challenge this morning, keep praying. Keep seeking God. Don't give up. Amen? That's what God wanted me to say. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this special time in the Bible. Thank you for Jesus' teaching. We ask you, Father, that you would give us the stamina, the perseverance, the faith to believe that you have great things planned for those who love you. And I don't know what these folks have been praying for all along in their lives or however long they've been praying for, but God, you know their hearts. And I ask you in Jesus' name that you would just let them know your will for their lives. There might be somebody here, somebody watching me on Facebook who says, you know what? I want to know God. I want to be able to talk to him intimately. If you ask him, ask Jesus to save your soul, it begins a relationship that you have with the Father in heaven. And he will begin to not only answer your prayers, but he will walk with you every step of the way. If you'd like to ask Jesus Christ to save your soul, you can tell him something like this right now. Lord, thank you for being who you are. Thank you for loving me the way you do. I ask you in Jesus' name to come inside my heart, save my soul. And God, from this day forward, I'm going to do my best to follow you. Lord God, I messed up in many ways. Please forgive me and give me a second chance. I'm willing to commit my life to you. In Jesus' name, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you just ask Jesus in your heart, would you raise your hand right now? First time ever. You say, I just asked Jesus in my heart. First time ever. All right. God in heaven, we love you. You're a good God. You're a good Father. Thank you for watching over our needs. In Jesus' name, we pray all these things. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for paying attention and taking notes and reading your Bibles. We're going to give God an offer.